Good evening.
Many times in Scripture we find many references that are given describing or instructing the way that a Christian is to walk. We've done lessons on this in the past, and by no means will this lesson this evening be an exhaustive list of these things. We find that word used in many passages in the Bible. But just simply want to get an idea of what it means to walk and then show some examples in Scriptures of those ways that a Christian is to walk. Strong says walk means to make one's way, to progress, to make use of opportunities. It's Hebrew meaning to live, to conduct oneself, to pass one's life. And that's exactly what the term walk is. It refers to the way that we are to live, the way that we are to behave or to conduct our lives, the way that we are to navigate ourselves. We understand in Scripture it's described that we're living in this world of darkness and of sin. And the way we walk or the way we choose to live is the way we navigate our way through this world with the idea that we do have an end goal in mind. It refers to the progress day by day of studying and meditating and becoming more familiar with God and what His Word is. It's the progress towards being more Christ-like, to become like Jesus was, to be the kind of people that would be worthy of Him. So that's what we want to look at this evening, in several passages in Scripture that tell us how as Christians we need to walk or to navigate our way through this world, again with our goal being that we're going to reach heaven in eternity. That ought to be the goal that each of us have. But in order to do that, we need to focus again on what the Bible says as far as how we need to pay attention to the way that we live our lives. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 is where we'll begin. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So we see Paul's hope here for the Colossians there in verse 10 where he says that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Paul, of course, writing through inspiration here, tells them how they should conduct their lives. That there's a certain way that they need to walk. There's a certain way that they need to be concerned about living. That there's a certain way that they need to conduct themselves. And he tells them there, again, that they are to conduct themselves in a way that would be worthy of the Lord. We notice from verse 9 how they were to do this. Paul says, "We do not cease to pray for you," and we notice there what he prays for. He says that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Meaning having this knowledge and having this understanding, they would be able to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. And really, when we think about it, how much more simply can we put it? In order to walk worthy of the Lord, to please Him, the first thing we have to do, it's very basic, is we need to understand what His will is for us. There's no way that we could please Him. There's no way that we can walk in His ways if we first don't know what His ways are. So that's the first step in this. If we don't know what He expects, there's no way we could use the knowledge here given in Scripture to navigate our way through this life in a way that He would expect us to do that. Now, there's a certain way we are, again, to walk and a certain way we are to live. Romans 12 and verse 2 tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, this is how we walk with God, by renewing our minds, by studying and daily meditating upon His Word. And in doing this, we understand that we put that knowledge into action. We seek out that knowledge. We use wisdom in putting that into action. And that's how we learn to grow and mature in God and how we are to walk and to show others by example what that good and acceptable and what that perfect will of God is. But again, in order to walk as God wants us to do, we must first know and understand what He expects. We must know and understand, first of all, what His Word says. It says in Colossians 1 and verse 10 that when we do this, we're told also that we are fruitful in our lives, according to verse 10. We are fruitful in the work that we do. And simply put, we become productive. As members of the Lord's church, as members of His kingdom, He expects us to live productive lives, to become fruitful. And again, this is one of the ways that when we're walking worthy of Him, that's one of the results of it, that we become fruitful or productive. But again, we must first understand what His will is. We must have that knowledge, and then we have to put that into action. James 1 and verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." And it's important that when we think of what the life of a Christian should look like, if we were to make the model Christian and what it was to look at, it's important that this is an idea that we understand. That yes, we have to have the knowledge. Yes, we have to study. Yes, we have to know what the Bible says. But then we have to put that into action. Simply knowing it is not enough. The fact that we not only hear and read, but we study God's Word and then we act upon it, the result of that is it causes us to become fruitful or productive. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, Jesus there emphasized the importance of becoming fruitful. He's warning here to be aware of false prophets, but we also gather from this warning, we gather and see the importance of becoming fruitful and walking according to God's law. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. It says, "Be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." So we see the fruits that we bear, whether they're good or whether they're bad, whether we decide to follow God's word or we don't, we're going to bear some kind of fruit, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And they show the result of what's up here, what's in our minds. It's the direct result of what we let in up here. They are the result of that. They show what's really in our hearts and in our minds, if you will. Our fruits are the direct result of how we choose to walk, what we put in our minds, what we choose to follow. We have a choice in what we let in our minds, and therefore we have a choice in how we walk. We have a choice in what kind of fruits we're going to bear. We have a choice of whether we're going to be productive members in God's kingdom or simply not. Again, these are the fruits that we bear. Christ said, based upon that, we're either going to receive a reward or we're going to receive a punishment. Look again at verse 23. It said, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So, folks, there are simply those that are going to refuse, those that are just simply not going to follow God's instruction. And He tells us very plainly in Scripture that there's going to be a punishment for that. It's unavoidable that there's going to be a separation from God in eternity for those type of people that choose to do this. But again, it's going to be their choice. Sadly, there are going to be those that are going to be fooled by false teachers, as Jesus alluded to. those that may think that they're in the right, but they haven't taken the time to simply know what the Word says. It's here for everybody to discern, and everybody to gain this knowledge and this understanding. But sadly, there are going to be those who are going to be fooled. On the other hand, we have verse 24. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Christ says when we become hearers and doers, much like we just talked about in James, when we become not only hearers but also doers of the Word, we become fruitful. And again, so we see the importance there of walking how God would have us to walk in knowledge and understanding of His will, that we bear this good fruit and we become the type of servants that He mentions there in verse 24. Another passage that refers to how we should walk is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 1, it says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." Again, here the idea is that it matters how we live our lives. Paul here reminds them that, and reminds us as well, that there is a certain way, he says there, ought to walk. We ought to walk a certain way. That it matters how we walk. And he reiterates again there in verse 2 what we looked at just a moment ago. That we're to base how we walk on the commands of our Lord. That should be the basis in every decision we make in this life. No matter how small or how great it is. Each decision that we make, we can look towards the Bible and to what God's Word says. And we can use it to navigate and make these decisions. And decide how we're going to walk. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 1, a passage that we're all very familiar with. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Again, this reference to how a Christian is to walk in order to be worthy. Notice it goes on there in verse 2 to list some of the characteristics that should be found in the Christian life. It says, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." These are the kind of things, and you could go on and on with that list. But these are the kind of things we need to be asking ourselves on a daily basis. Are these words that describe me? If somebody were to give a description of me, would they describe me in this way? Am I humble? Am I gentle? Am I loving? Am I patient? Do I show love for others? Does that describe me, or is it just simply something that I know I should be doing, but maybe I'm not doing it? And again, it sounds simple enough when we read it, but when problems arise, when someone does us wrong, or we have trials or temptations or different things that we may go through, some of this stuff is much easier said than done. But again, we are to consider these things. We are to consider the fruits that we bear and to simply ask ourselves, do these qualities describe how we're walking each day? Studying and knowing, again, is one thing, but again, putting that into our lives is something far more difficult. It's far more challenging to do that. And it requires study. And it requires discipline each day in order to put these things in place. In Ephesians 5, and I dealt with this a little bit in the article this morning. In Ephesians 5, we are given some examples there of how we are to walk as well. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." So we are to imitate God, and we do this when we walk in love, because that's what God is. He's love. But we do this in consideration of what has already been done for us. When we consider what God has already done for us, look at the previous verse chapter 4 and verse 32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And the next verse says, 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore." So in other words, consider these things. Consider these things that God has already done for you, the patience that He has shown, the kindness, the tender-heartedness, the forgiveness that God's already shown you freely. And consider these things, and when we consider how we need to love one another, we are to consider these things that's already been done for us. Look at 1 John chapter 4. We're told in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 that God is love. And so again, if we are to follow that instruction to walk in love, we have to, again, keep in our minds the love of God, the love that God has already shown for us. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 7. It said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So this is the idea that we are to consider when we talk about how we are to walk in love. This ought to be the basis for that when we consider how we are to do this. And again, it goes back to realizing what is already been done for us. Verse 9 says that He manifested His love toward us. That is, He made known His love toward us in that He sent His only begotten Son to the earth, that in Him we may live. Not only did He send Him here, He sent Him here to be the propitiation for our sin. He sent Him to die for our sins. Even though we were sinners, we were filthy, we were wicked, we were undeserving of anything, and yet God loved us enough that He would provide this for us. That's love. And we need to consider that kind of love when somebody does us wrong. When somebody wrongs us or we have ill will towards somebody. We could say that it should be easy for us, considering what's been done for us already. It should be easier for us to show that same kind of love back. Sometimes it's not, of course, that easy. But again, we consider how we ought to walk in love when we consider how God first loved us. We ought to show love for one another through our actions. It's not simply telling somebody, "I love you." We've looked at that in some classes and in some lessons, that love is an action word. We show it by what we do. If there's a need, maybe if there's not even a need, that we would do something for somebody without cause. That we would see for the physical and the spiritual well-being of one another without even being asked to do it. Not even because somebody may not even deserve it. But we do it freely. Just as God showed compassion upon us, we need to have that same compassion on others. He saw a need in us, and yet He sought to remedy that need. And it's the same kind of attitude, the same kind of walk, the way we are to live our lives towards one another. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 said, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So it gives us here another way a Christian should walk. It describes the world, and we see it in other places where the world is described as darkness. And as Christians, we understand that we are these lights in this vast world of darkness. And as Christians, we understand that when we obey, we become lights of Christ. We are lights in this world of darkness to those around us. It's a transformation that takes place. It tells the Ephesians here that before you obeyed, you were in darkness. So that's what they were previous to their obedience. But now, since you have rendered obedience to the gospel, you are to be transformed You were living in sin. You were living separate from God. You were in darkness. Now, since you have obeyed, you become children of light. Verse 11 says, in this darkness they were unfruitful. Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. So we see that in darkness, if you're in darkness, you're unfruitful. Quite the opposite of what it means to walk in a way that's worthy of the Lord. We saw that we were fruitful when we live in such a way and we walk in such a way as the Lord wants us to. And in opposition to that is darkness, where we become unfruitful, doing those things that are shameful to even speak of. But again, now as children of light, as children of God, your conduct ought to be different. You did one thing in darkness. You were in sin on this side. Has there been a change in us since we've rendered obedience to the gospel? Is there a noticeable difference in that? Paul refers to the fruit of the Spirit there in verse 9. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Again, these things that should be evident in us. Goodness, righteousness, truth. These things that are going to be evident in us when we obey God's Word. Look again at verse 10. It says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So again, when we talk about the way that we are to walk, it seems like it always goes back to this. To finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and seeking out the knowledge of what He has revealed through the Scripture. It always goes back to that when we talk about how we are to conduct our lives or how we are to walk. I guess the biggest part of that is learning what is acceptable and learning what is simply not. Ephesians 5 and verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly simply means carefully. Verse 17 tells us there the difference between the wise and the unwise. It says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So again, we see this common theme on how we are to walk. And it seems like it always comes back to the fact that we need to first understand what His will is. It's impossible to walk in His ways if we don't know what His ways are. It's impossible for us to imitate Christ if we don't know what Christ was like or what He did. And how do we find that out? We find it through the pages of what's been revealed to us through the Bible. So again, walk wisely, walk carefully. When Brother Wayne was here, he talked about Satan and how he was this roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's after our souls. He seeks to separate us from God. So in this walking carefully and in walking in wisdom, we use this knowledge and we take this knowledge and we use it wisely that we may figure out some of these snares that Satan has set for us. He's very cunning, as Brother Wayne explained. And therefore we must walk carefully. We must walk wisely and be aware that there are these snares out there for us. But again, it goes back to having this knowledge and understanding. Before we close, let's look at some other passages that refer to the way that a Christian should walk. And we'll go through these rather quickly for time's sake. You might want to write them down, revisit them a little bit later on. We'll go through just a list of passages. It's not, again, an exhaustive list. There's much more that could be said on the subject of how we are to walk. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, as you therefore, having received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So it's a powerful passage there that we are rooted, we are grounded when we establish ourselves in Christ, in the faith. Strengthened in the faith based on what we have been taught. Or what we are taught in these pages from the Word of God. Colossians 4 and verse 5. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Again, the thought that we should live wisely. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 and verse 13. It says, let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So we're to walk properly. The word properly is decently. We're to walk decently, not as the rest of the world walks, not walking in such a way that we walk seeking to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We walk in such a way that we fulfill what is expected of us by God. That's our focus. That's our aim. We're going to walk towards what we're aiming at. If our aim is to fulfill the lust of the flesh, that's what we're walking towards. We're walking in those ways. And that's what we're going to fulfill. But on the other hand, if we're walking as God wants us to walk, if heaven is our goal, we're going to walk in those ways in such a way that we can reach that goal. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we should walk in good works. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Again, we looked at that just a little bit earlier. Ephesians 4 and verse 17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Again, our life's noticeably different from the rest of the world. Kind of the idea there. A few more, and then we'll close. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. As if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, again, do we practice what we preach? Or are we simply just proclaiming to be something that we're not? We proclaim to be Christians. Are we living that kind of life? Or are we living in opposition to that? And so we see, based upon this passage, you can see the importance of doing this. Look again at verse 7. It says, but if we walk in light as He is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. On the other hand of that, if we're not doing those things, we're lost in our sin. We need to live our lives and walk in such a way that we can be clean from our sin. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, but whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. 2 John chapter 6. Excuse me, 2 John 1 verse 6. 2 John verse 6. So this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. And lastly, 3 John verses 3 and 4. It says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It pleased John when he heard that his brethren were living according to the truth. And in John chapter 17, in verse 17, Jesus says there that God's word is truth. It pleased John to hear that his brethren were living according to God's word. It was pleasing to him. And again, this is how we are to live, according to His word. Just as it pleased John there, we need to be living our lives in such a way that would please God. And we do that when we adhere to His commandments and when we put those things into action in our own lives. That's the lesson for this evening. If you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel, you have an opportunity to do that. If you have obeyed but for some reason you've fallen back into the world, you have a chance this evening to make that right before you leave. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.